Every state has its growth industry. Some of those industries, of course, carry a great importance for the people in that state. When it comes to the medical profession, it's certainly hoped that a state will create an environment for that vital industry to grow and provide important services to someone such as yourself. Is that true in New Jersey? With us now to answer that question through the eyes of doctors in the state, always pays when you go to the source, with a Brock Eichler 2018 New Jersey Healthcare Monitor, is their managing member and health law practice chair, John Fanberg. How are you today, John?
I'm great. Thank you, Chris.
And, of course, we've linked directly to the report, but you learn more about the law services of Brock Eichler at, of course, brockeichler.com, and we have that website linked as well. So before we get into some of the nuts and bolts and details, what is the goal of this annual study that you come up with?
Well, we started the survey a number of years ago to create a baseline of input from the physician community in New Jersey in terms of what the physicians were thinking and feeling about practicing medicine in New Jersey. Then each year we maintain several of the key questions to show differences from year to year. And then as the business and practice of medicine changes through regulation or otherwise, we add a couple of more pertinent specific questions to the survey to get the physician's input on those. So it creates an opportunity to see how trends change and also take the pulse of New Jersey's physicians on hot topics.
One of the questions is, how has the changing healthcare environment affected your role as a physician within the last year? And I guess the bad news is it shows more reductions than positive increases.
Absolutely. This is a trend. You know, each year may move a percentage point or two, but it is changing. It's harder and harder for physicians to do what they do best, and that is to spend time with patients in terms of direct patient care. In fact, I was at my own physician a week ago, and I noticed on the outside of the door there was, in essence, a time clock so that he pressed it when he walked in and pressed it when he went out. So they're now monitoring how long physicians actually spend time with patients. In some respects, as some of the statistics show, a lot of physicians are resigned to feel pressed to see as many patients they can per hour, per day, getting used to reduced reimbursement, but trying to figure out how do they continue to be able to treat their patients, how to cover their costs, and making sure their patients are feeling that they're being treated with the appropriate level of dignity when trying to solve their problems.
Does that literal punching of the clock place physicians at a greater risk in any legal liability? Because I'm trying to think of what a good comparison would be. Let's just say if you're a factory worker at an automaker, and you're told, well, you're inserting this item this number of times an hour. We need you to do this number an hour instead. And through speed comes, well, absence and accidents even sometimes.
It does happen because there is a greater compressed period of time where the physician and patient interact one-on-one. Clearly, lots of intake is handled by medical assistants or physician assistants these days. But the physicians who are pressed in a limited amount of time has difficulty trying to create the assessment he or she needs because sometimes you just need to spend more time and talk it through with the patients. And as patients, you know, have that opportunity to converse, they think of other things that may be impacting their health care that a doctor would need. So it's not only the quick assessment that the physician has to make in a compressed period of time, you're limiting the amount of ability that the patient can share his or her experiences with the doctor to try to connect the dots to try to provide the appropriate level of service. So I do think it impacts quality of care.
The question was, have you changed your practice structure in the last year? 50.81% of the doctors said yes, 49.19% said no. That's a sizable number. Are the doctors following the lead that we've seen here in New Jersey of hospitals, of networking and combining services?
There is a tremendous amount of consolidation, so yes, but there's several different aspects of consolidation going on now. You have physicians forming large single and multi-specialty groups, or joining the existing single and multi-special groups that are already out there. You still have physicians giving up their private practices and affiliating and aligning with hospitals and hospital systems. But what's also occurring on a regional basis, and it's been happening nationally, is the selling of the medical practices to private equity firms. Now, a private equity firm can't practice medicine in New Jersey. That would be a violation of New Jersey's prohibition against corporate practice of medicine. But there are ways to structure deals where Wall Street can actually share in the revenue stream created by a medical practice. That's been going on for probably 24, 36 months. But this private equity activity and Wall Street activity has really ramped up here in New Jersey in the last 12 months. So that's a newer aspect of changing physician practices.
Talking with John Fanberg, who is the managing member and health law practice chair of Brock Eichler, about their 2018 New Jersey Healthcare Monitor, which you can see a copy of, as well as learn more about the legal services at brockeichler.com. And you'll listen to Issues and Ideas. How has the opioid epidemic impacted the medical industry in New Jersey and how they react to it with the prescriptions, monitoring, and patient care? Has it been a dramatic change?
I think so. From talking to our physician clients and friends, it seems that over the last 12 months and 18 months, there's much more attention because of the publicity locally and nationally. Our prior governor had instituted significant measures to curb the opioid crisis in New Jersey. The trends of overdoses nationally are staggering and just not something that we as a group of citizens and physician community should tolerate. And I think because of all of the regulatory changes to curb this, physicians are much more cognizant of dosages and when to prescribe, which kind of leads in a little bit to, you know, cannabis and our expansion of the medical dispensaries in New Jersey. Is this a viable alternative or not? And some of our statistics are interesting when you look at that as well. But clearly the physician community and public community are very concerned about what's happened and collectively with government trying to stem this scourge.
Perhaps one of the most challenging times is when politics and policy invade or collide with a necessity such as health care, medical care in New Jersey. We're seeing it now on a couple of instances. On June of this year, the governor signed a bill to increase transparency. It's known as an out-of-network bill. It imposes disclosure requirements on health care doctors, binding arbitration, determined payment for services. It goes on from there. Combined to that, just when the doctors thought they were out from under a lot of the weight of Obamacare, Murphy Care apparently is on the horizon. How is that being reacted to and foreseen to impact the medical profession by the doctors?
Well, the out-of-network law is an interesting aspect of our governor's initiative. It was been kicking around our state legislature for close to 10 years, where the battle lines were drawn between the insurance companies and the provider community in terms of what would be an appropriate bill. The governor campaigned that he wanted to, quote, solve the out-of-network problem, end quote, and as you indicated, signed the bill, and the bill's been active since the end of August. The problem confronting the provider community, the insurance industry, and consumer side of it is that we have no rules or regulations issued by the regulatory agencies tasked with doing that. The Board of Medical Examiners has to adopt regulations to deal with physicians. The Department of Banking Insurance has to issue regulations to deal with the insurance companies and this arbitration process that you mentioned, as well as the Department of Health has to issue regulations for the hospital side of it and licensed providers. Without having these rules and regulations, there's a lot of confusion going on, and the bill, which was originally intended to be pro-consumer to provide transparency, is just confusing the consumer world even much more. So we're in this twilight zone of how to really handle this to carry out the goal of providing transparency to the patient. I've been advocating, in essence, a summit meeting among the different providers with the insurance company Because while the agencies are struggling with developing the regulations, we should all sit down and figure out, okay, how can we manage this until the agencies do what they need to do? And that just takes time in a normal period of time. Usually the effective date of legislation such as this, which is complicated, is so far out, which enables the agencies to develop their rules. But it was a 90-day time frame. The law became the law at the end of August. And here we are in December with some guidance from the agencies, but no formal rules. So I've been trying to encourage the insurance industry to sit down with the provider community to work out an interim arrangement so that the consumers and patients don't get caught in the middle.
And yet, in spite of all that we've talked about and more that you spotlight in the annual report, 60% of physicians say, come on in if you want to be a doctor, because it's something important to do. And it shows, at least the doctors in your survey, the level of dedication that they hold for their industry.
We are so lucky here in New Jersey with the physician community. And I was very encouraged when I saw that at the end of the day, the physicians, notwithstanding the regulatory hassles, what the legislature does, what the agencies do, what the insurance companies do, deep down, they still like to be providing good care to their patients. And some of the physicians, many of our physicians in New Jersey, don't get the appropriate attention that they deserve because they really provide a lot of free care to New Jersey citizens. It's not about the reimbursement. And we also have a significant number of physicians who travel the world to provide free care to those in need in other countries. And so the fact that this statistic came up does show their dedication to providing great patient care, and we're fortunate to have that here in our state.
It is the Brock Eichler 2018 New Jersey Healthcare Monitor. You can read it yourself and go past the point even what we talked about here, some very insightful, very interesting qualifications and details. You can find it at brockeichler.com. Learn more about their legal services or medical professionals as well, brockeichler.com. We've been joined by the managing member and health law practice chair, John Famber. John, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure, Chris. Have a great holiday season.